With apologies to those affiliated with Mobile Christian who heard me share part of this Thursday, I've been working on a lesson that I shared part of at chapel at Mobile Christian that begins with a very odd picture in your mind. So help try to visualize this in your mind. It's a sight that a lady named Karen saw, and she thought at first her eyes were deceiving her. First, envision a man on roller skates with a fixed leather patch on his shoulder on which is sitting an owl. And this man is skating toward her. I couldn't find a picture of all that, but I did find a picture of an owl. But as Karen draws nearer to this man with this owl on his shoulder, by the way, the owl's wings are outstretched and the feathers are just rippling in the wind as he's skating. She saw that that huge owl perched on his shoulder had a broken wing. And as the odd pair got closer, Karen noticed this. And when the skater stopped to rest, he explained, "Well, twice a day we go out so he can pretend he's flying." Impressed with the skater's kindness, Karen replied, "Well, I'm sure he would repay you if he could." The man answered, "He already has. I used to weigh 25 pounds more and I smoked." With that picture in mind, that unusual sight in mind, notice this proverb, Proverbs 11, verse 25. "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Because I'm not here to talk to you about owls with broken wings, but I do want us to understand and observe that owls aren't the only ones with broken wings. Owls aren't the only ones that have some needs about which we may not heal them, but we can help them. We can help them be refreshed. Think with me about some people that you'll be able to put names with these different struggles that people have that need to be refreshed. Number one, the discouraged. Those who are discouraged need to be refreshed. I looked that word up, discouraged, and it's used one time. This particular Greek word is used one time in Colossians 3, verse 21. "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Discouraged. And the Greek word there comes from two roots. One is the alpha, which is the negative participle. And then the rest of the word is the word that means to have passion, as if breathing hard. So says Strong's Concordance. So passion. And it gives the idea of passion. Someone who's breathing hard, working hard at accomplishing something. But then that alpha at the beginning of it negates it. And so it means to be without spirit, spiritless, disheartened, dismayed. Fathers, don't provoke your children lest they become disheartened, spiritless, discouraged. And the idea seems to me that you've heard the phrase, it's like the wind has been taken out of their sails. And that's the idea. But think about someone, perhaps that you know, been working hard toward a goal, some project, and something happens and they don't reach their goal and they're disappointed, they're discouraged, they're depressed. The wind has been taken out of their sails. They have a broken wing. What is it that we could say or do that could help refresh them? I read about Sir Alexander Mackenzie, who's a hero in Canada. An early fur trader and explorer, he accomplished a magnificent feat when he led an expedition across Canada from Fort Chippewyan to the Pacific Ocean. However, though that journey was completed in 1793, There had been a previous attempt by Sir Alexander Mackenzie. The earlier attempt was in 1789. And he and his men started up this river, what was later to be named the Mackenzie River, trying to explore a path from that point in mid-Canada to the Pacific Ocean. I don't know if you can see the map on the PowerPoint or not, but the route that they went on this previous expedition took them not west, but northwest. And they did come out on an ocean, but it was the Arctic Ocean. In his diary, Mackenzie called that river that was soon to be named for him the River of Disappointment. He'd worked hard. He thought he'd found the path that would help the Canadians so much. But it was the River of Disappointment. Many have traveled the River of Disappointment. I'm not talking about the one in Canada. But here's where you and I can practice this proverb. He who refreshes others shall himself be refreshed. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But encourage one another daily, and so much the more as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." We have a privilege, a responsibility to encourage those who are discouraged. William Barclay wrote these words in commenting on this passage. "One of the highest of human duties is the duty of encouragement. It's easy to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. It's easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept a man on his feet." And all of us, I'm sure, know that broken wing feeling of being discouraged. But we also know the refreshment that comes when someone that loves you and cares about you says a kind word, does some action that helps lift you up. He that refreshes others will himself be refreshed. It's the defeated that need to be refreshed. And I think about Peter. And Jesus, and with his disciples, said, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night." And Peter, he is strong when he's standing with Jesus. And he says, "Though all will be made to stumble, I will never deny you." Of course, Jesus tells him before the rooster crows, "You'll deny me three times." And Peter still said, "No way. There's no way I could do that." And you know the rest of the story, Matthew 26. A little girl says he was with Jesus. Peter denies it. Another servant girl says he was one of them, and he denies it. He even emphatically denies it, curses in that third denial. But then the scripture says that as soon as he made that third denial, the rooster crowed. Matthew 26:75. Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. He had broken wings. He was so defeated at this point. I read about a trial in San Diego. Two men were on trial for armed robbery. An eyewitness took the stand, and the prosecutor moved carefully, speaking to this eyewitness. "So you say you were at the scene when the robbery took place?" "Yes." "And you saw a vehicle leave at a high rate of speed?" "Yes." "And did you observe the occupants?" "Yes, two men." And the prosecutor boomed, "Are those two men present in court today?" But you know that eyewitness didn't even have to answer, because the two defendants sealed their fate and raised their hands. But when it comes to acknowledging times when we've succumbed to temptation when we have failed on occasion, we all can raise our hands. So therefore, all of us know that we've sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we know those defeats. And we also know how important it is to bounce back, to know forgiveness, to be refreshed. Peter was refreshed by Christ. And I love studying about this in John 21. And Jesus, the resurrected Christ, pulls Peter aside and asks him three times, Simon, do you love me? And Peter, at this point, I'm sure, doesn't understand why is Jesus asking me the same question. Of course I love you. You know I do. But he's refreshing Peter. And I wonder if Peter thought about something that Jesus had previously said to him before he denied him. In Luke's account, Luke 22, notice with me, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And notice this, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Jesus is basically telling him, is he not? You're going to deny me. You're going to give in. You think you're strong, but when you're separated from me and all these things going on, you're going to be weak and you're going to deny me. But when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. I wonder if those words came to Peter as Jesus refreshes Peter again, gives him that opportunity to proclaim his love for him, his dedication to him. How that he would be refreshed, and then having been refreshed, would be better able to strengthen his brethren who may be struggling with doubt, or maybe struggling having been defeated by sin. If we've known the refreshment of God's forgiveness, we should be willing to extend it to others and help them be refreshed too. But the downtrodden need to be refreshed. The downtrodden. I think about the Apostle Paul and listen to 2 Timothy 1 verse 15. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. All those in Asia have turned away from me. No other information is given concerning these two people, Phygellus and Hermogenes, other than what's in this verse. But you can hear sadness in Paul's words, can't you? All those in Asia have turned away from me. And the words turned away signifies rejection. It's translated deserted in chapter 4, verse 16. These men were ashamed to testify for Paul and thus to be identified with him in everything that he was going through as he was awaiting a possible execution. But that's not the end of the story here. Look with me in the next verse, 2 Timothy 1:16. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very, very zealously and found me. Onesiphorus, and I'm looking at the way you pronounce it, and I think that's correct. It's a long name, isn't it? Haven't known of anybody else by that name. The name means prophet bearing. And Paul would certainly avow that Onesiphorus was certainly brought a lot of profit to him as he's in prison. He refreshed me. I read years ago, it was in the Gospel Advocate, a writer commenting on this passage said that word refresh can also contain the idea of a cool breeze blowing over you, over a person who is weary or is hot. That cool, reviving breeze. And that's how he's speaking of Onesiphorus here, that he refreshed me, but he often refreshed me. More than once. Many times. Not only that, he sought me out very zealously and found me. He searched hard for me, one translation says. And to me, in my mind, it comes to Onesiphorus coming to Rome trying to find Paul. And Rome's a big place, and he doesn't know exactly where he is. But he asks, he searches, and keeps on searching until he finds Paul. Paul says, "The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day." And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. This wasn't anything new for Onesiphorus. He had ministered, he had served Paul, he had refreshed him before in many ways at Ephesus. You see, the Apostle Paul in prison, waiting execution. All those in Asia have deserted me, but not Onesiphorus. He refreshed me. Do you know anyone that's imprisoned by certain circumstances? It wouldn't take this congregation long to think of several. Their health is failing. Their health is, they're struggling right now. Or some other circumstance. What is it that you and I could say or do that could help refresh them? He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You see, the best way to be refreshed is by helping someone else. The way to be blessed is to first be a blessing to others. And when we seek to refresh others in their time of need, we'll find ourselves refreshed in several ways. But let me point out three. Number one, first we'll be refreshed by feeling good about having done something good. And doesn't that always accompany it? When we do something good for someone else, we feel good for having done it. When we offer encouraging words that make someone feel better, we find that we feel better ourselves. When we share a funny story that makes our friend laugh, we're laughing along with them, even though we've probably told that story several times. But it's refreshing to refresh others. I found this poem. "Today when skies were shadowed and my heart was overcast, and my soul was weary, yearning to dispel long winter's blast, I ventured from my cottage and sought a neighbor's need. With smiling lips and willing hands performed a friendly deed. I raised my eyes to brighter skies and set love for my goal. Then sunshine flooded through my heart and spring was in my soul." Our whole perspective changes when we start observing others around us, seeing how they can be, need to be refreshed and how we might could help do that. And as a result, we also feel spring in our souls. A second way we'll be refreshed when we refresh others involves another basic biblical principle. We reap what we sow. Galatians 6 and verse 7. "Whatsoever a man sows, that also shall he reap." And a lot of times we use that in the negative consequence, and that is true, but it's also true positively. We sow to the Spirit, we reap eternal life. That's the positive result of sowing righteousness. But this principle is at work here with this principle. How we treat others determines to a great degree how we will be treated. Matthew 7 verses 1 and 2. "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. With what measure you measure, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." In the context, Jesus is talking about hypocritical judgment. Be careful lest you judge others hypocritically, for you will be judged the same way. But this principle also relates to seeking to refresh others. We find ourselves refreshed. Relationships are reciprocal. We tend to receive what we give. If we smile, others tend to smile back at us. If we scowl, that's often what we get in return. Perhaps it was one of you that sent me this email, and I couldn't find it, but I Googled it and found a man relating this experience. And he tells about a man that works at a gas station in Oregon. And according to this article, in Oregon, there are no self-serve gas stations. It's against the law to pump your own gas. Didn't know that. But he talks about in this small town, just outside of town, there's a gas station with an attendant named Jimmy. And Jimmy is known to often interact with his customers as they're pumping gas. And when a newcomer comes to town, he'll often be asked, "What kind of people are there around here? What are the people like around here?" And how Jimmy responds is this. In answer to that question, he'll ask, "Well, what are the people like in the town from where you've come?" And if they tell him something like, "Well, the people where we came from were hard to get along with. We lived for 6 years in that neighborhood, didn't even know our neighbors. And it was the most unfriendly place we've ever lived." And Jimmy will respond, "Well, that's what the people are like around here." On the other hand, if they say something like, "Well, the people where we just moved from are wonderful. We were friends with all of our neighbors. It was the nicest group of people we've ever lived around." And you've guessed it, Jimmy will respond, "That's exactly the kind of people we have around here." I think Jimmy knows a lot about human nature. And he knows this principle. We reap what we sow. If we seek to be kind and friendly to others, that's what's returned to us most of the time. But if we're unfriendly and unkind, then we can expect the same. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And then thirdly and finally, another blessing that comes is, of course, it pleases God when we seek to refresh others. Listen to this passage. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides sheep from the goats. And He'll set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The King will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" When we seek to refresh others, we please God. I read about a doctor, a missionary doctor, serving in Korea. He had just come out of the operating room. His hands were trembling from fatigue. Sweat was on his brow. His lips were almost purple with strain. And he was asked by an onlooker how much he would have received for such a delicate operation if he had performed it in the United States of America. And you can tell this is dated because the doctor replied, perhaps $2,000. That's cheap, isn't it? But then came the question, how much will you receive from this Korean woman? The doctor hesitated and then replied, nothing but her gratitude and the master's smile. Nothing but her gratitude and the master's smile. But to know that what we're doing pleases God, isn't that wonderful? And isn't that a tremendous blessing, the greatest blessing? Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love that you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. He won't forget. He knows. He's pleased when we seek to refresh others. Let me conclude with a quote by Keith Wisham. Broken, winged humans surround us. You may not be able to heal them, but you can find a way to help one of them to feel just a bit of wind in his wings. Try it and see if you both find it refreshing. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Now, if you come tell me next week that you saw a man on roller skates with an owl on his shoulder, I'm going to be amazed. But if that picture will come to your mind and that owl with a broken wing, just letting his wings flutter in the wind, if that'll cause you to be more sensitive to the needs of others and seek to be refreshing to others, then it's worth it. Let's seek to implement these principles. Because we serve a God who saw our greatest need and gave Himself for us, that we might have forgiveness and the hope of eternal life. If you've not accepted His gift of salvation on His terms, if you need the prayers of the church, we hope and pray that you'll come right now as we stand and sing.